Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens, is our guest today, playing live with material from his new album, Another Cup, and more. Cat Stevens ruled the pop charts with hit albums like Tea for the Tillerman and more. At the height of his fame in 1978, Cat Stevens converted to Islam, changing his name to Yusuf Islam. He gave away his wealth and turned his back on fame. Instantly, though, he became the most famous face of the British Muslim community, and as such, his statements concerning the fatwa on Salman Rushdie became big news and caused a backlash. We'll discuss all that and talk about his spiritual journey. Another Cup is his first step back into the pop world. Previously, although he sang Peace Train a cappella after 9/11, he has not made any major artistic statements until now. And I ask Yusuf, why now was the right time?
Well, it's not really a plan. It's just something I feel is absolutely right for this time, because there's so much misunderstanding, so many disharmonies, you know, in the world. I think it's time for a good song, you know, and I've written a few since I departed all those years ago. And I suppose I want to prove that I can do it again, mm-hmm. I suppose. Not that I need to rush up the charts, but just for my own peace of mind, that I can sing and enjoy it and let others enjoy that too. Yeah.
Was there a specific moment when you picked up the instrument again?
That was in Dubai about 2 years ago, just over. And we were on holiday with my family, and my son, you know, who's got a love of music, bought a guitar. And he left that guitar hanging around one day, you know. So it was me and the guitar again. Picked it up, my fingers knew exactly where to go, and I started singing some of my new songs, you know, some of the songs I've been writing. All of a sudden it felt so natural, and I felt very moved, you know, to do something more.
In the years when you weren't playing music, was it more to distance yourself from your fame, or from music in particular, the secular nature of it?
Well, you know, the business is secular. Music doesn't have to be secular. In fact, a lot of my music never was. It was always, well, most of it, anyway, apart from the beginning bit, was to do with finding, you know, finding a path and searching for big answers to big questions, mm-hmm. you know, and that was my repertoire, most of it. Father and Son, and, you know, Wild World, you know.
On the Road to Find Out.
On the Road to Find Out, exactly. So really, I had searched for this path, and when I found it, it was the joy of finding that place of spirituality that I've been searching for, where all my answers, you know, could be found. And even though it doesn't mean that you stop learning, but at least you know what some of the answers to your big questions are, you know, and that was important.
Well, maybe you should start with one of the older songs that might have had something to do with the quest or something along the way. Are there older songs that you don't feel comfortable with anymore?
Just the ones I can't remember.
Good answer. And perhaps those early ones.
Yeah, those early ones with all the brass and yeah. Timpani, yeah. Okay, let's do maybe this one, yeah. 2, 3, 4. Oh, very young, why will you leave us this time? You're only dancing on this earth for a short while. And though your dreams may toss and turn you now, they will vanish away like your daddy's best jeans, denim blue, facing up to the sky. And though you want them to last forever, you know we never will. You know we never will. And the patches make the goodbye harder still. Oh, very young, what will you leave us this time? There'll never be a better chance to change your mind. And if you want this world to see better days, will you carry the words of love with you? Will you ride the great white bird into heaven? And though you want to last forever, you know you never will. You know you never will. and the goodbye makes the journey harder still. Dancing on this earth for a short while. Oh, very young, what will you leave us this time?
Our guest on the World Cafe is Yusuf Islam, doing a Cat Stevens song. You can see people get confused.
Oh, you can see I forgot one of the words.
Ah, okay. Well. There you go.
That's part of growing up.
People talk about this major change in your life, and it was a major change when you embraced Islam. But there was another major change earlier, because I have a copy of a recent Mojo magazine that has a picture of a tour that you were on with Jimi Hendrix and some other people. And it's a picture of you that is not really recognizable to us as the Cat Stevens we knew, but it was you in the earlier period of your existence. But something happened there when you really decided to embrace more of your true musical nature. Is that part of the same journey?
Yeah. I suppose you can define three distinct stages of my, you know, musical career. This is the third. You know, the first one was really my introduction into the whizzing world of pop in the 60s. And, you know, with a catchy name like Cat Stevens and a big band, you know, sort of arrangements, a lot of my songs were still kind of unique, really. You know, I talked about I love my dog and, you know, I'm going to get me a gun. And these are people that, oh, my God, what is this? So I made kind of people think think twice about my lyrics. And but the problem with that career was that I was never really in control of it. And it was always running away with me. And I had to catch up and keep up. People wanted another hit record like the last one. So Matthew and Son was a big hit. They wanted another one. It was difficult. So I used to, you know, drink like you do, you know, on tour. And with Jimi Hendrix, I learned a few other things. And that kind of life drove me down. Very soon I'd contracted tuberculosis, a medieval disease, you know, in the middle of the 60s. And I disappeared from view. I was in hospital and I had to get well. And I almost died, you know. So that made me start to think again, about these big questions about life. You know, what happens if it all disappears? I mean, do I disappear? Or does the world? You know, what happens after that? So that set me on my course for finding out. And then, you know, what flowed from there was all those songs you probably recognize from Teeth of the Tiller Man and Tears in the Firecat, Mona Bone Jackan, and that kind of era. You know, and that was my second sort of.
Well, now having being, I guess, near death with TB is one experience, but your actual embracing of Islam had another kind of perhaps near death experience, right?
Well, yeah, I link these two things, even though they weren't directly linked. I think around 1975, I was swimming in Malibu, you know, off the Pacific there, and getting into trouble, really, because it was a very, very strong current that day. And all of a sudden, I couldn't keep myself up. I was in real danger of drowning. And I thought, this was it. This was the end. And without any hesitation, I realized that there was only one source of help for me at that moment. And I shouted out, God, if you save me, I'll work for you. You know, it was a great promise. And that moment,
A little wave came from behind me. It wasn't big, but it was just enough to push me forward. And all of a sudden, I had all the energy I needed. The tide, it seems, you know, had turned, and I was swimming back to land. I was there within a minute on land, you know, alive. And that was it. That was my moment, you know, where, like they say, you know, you never find a disbeliever on a sinking ship. You know, that was my moment. Later, it happened that I received the Quran, you know, as a gift, as a, I think it was a birthday gift. I didn't make any connection, actually, between these two things, but I never forgot my promise. Mm. I think everybody makes a promise at some point in their life, you know, and it's just a matter of how much we're faithful to you know, at that moment, to keep our promise. But anyway, I came to the Quran, and quite clearly, it seemed to be speaking exactly what I needed to hear, you know, and everything was telling me was about how to change my life. And I realized that probably this was the time, this was the actual time, the moment I had to do it. But again, what a lot of people tend to forget is this matter of choice. You know, I had a choice, and everybody's got a choice. It just depends on how you deal with the choices in life, you know, and it's your freedom that you're using to make whatever choices you decide.
Now, your brother gave you the Quran. Why did he do that? Well, did he was there a specific reason?
My brother had visited the Holy Land, and you know, it's quite common for you know, in the West to see the Jerusalem, the Holy Land, distinctively being connected to Jesus and you know, and the prophets from the Bible, you know, Solomon, etc. And then when you get there, you realize what character exists in that holy city, which comes from Islam. And you say, well, and he went there and he saw this mosque right in the center, and he said, well, what is this religion? We don't even know anything about it. So he went into the mosque. And he quickly ran out again because you know, they were wondering who he was. You know, they were kind of scared that another person was going to try and come and do something to the mosque. Because the year before that, somebody, you know, from Australia had burnt down or tried to burn the mosque. So he then left the mosque, but with this feeling that there was something exceptional in that space. When he came back to UK, there was a festival of Islamic sort of, you know, books and artifacts and whatever, you know, and he saw this Quran in the bookshop, and he decided to buy it for me as a birthday present. Yeah.
More with Yusuf, Cat Stevens, including a performance of Peace Train, coming up when we return to the World Cafe. More conversation with Yusuf, Cat Stevens, coming up. Here's a live performance of another song from An Other Cup, Maybe There's a World.
I have dreamt of a place and time where nobody gets annoyed, but I must admit I'm not there yet, but something's keeping me going. Maybe there's a world that I'm still to find. Maybe there's a world that I'm still to find. Open up a world and let me in. Then there'll be a new life to begin. I have dreamt of an open world, borderless and wide, where the people move from place to place and nobody's taking sides. Maybe there's a world that I'm still to find. Maybe there's a world that I'm still to find. Open up a world. Been waiting for that moment to arise. All at once the palace of peace will fill my eyes. How nice.
I've been waiting for that moment to arrive. All at once the wrongs of the world will be but right. How nice.
Maybe There's a World is most definitely a Yusuf Islam song, but with some of those Cat Stevens kind of rhythmic stabs in there.
Rick Knowles, the producer, you know, with me, wanted to get into those things. So I had a good time kind of getting stabs going with the piano and the drums and my little vocal kind of choruses, which you didn't hear them today, but of course they're on the record.
Right. You know, you talk about a spiritual quest that you can follow lyrically in your music, but your music also, there was a musical quest going on too when you look at things like The Foreigner Suite and Buddha and Chocolate Box. You got much more into kind of jazz phrasing and jazz. Were you looking for something musically at the time as well?
Yeah, I went to live at one time in Rio, Brazil, you know, and that really turned me around musically. You know, it's like I think it's some of the best music in the world, and it's very jazz orientated, you know, kind of very spontaneous. I love that kind of music. I suppose that influenced me to some extent, and at the same time, looking for new horizons, you know, musically, that was always my quest. You know, writing a kind of a song which I'd never written before, or in a style that I'd never tried before, and you know that was the way I used to keep myself entertained.
People talk about your conversion to Islam as if it happened at one time, but clearly it happened over a period of time. But when it happened, you not only converted as an individual, you became I'm sure at the time it was not an enviable position of being kind of Britain's most famous convert, most famous member of the religion, which must, were you ready for that?
Not really. And I was, my first, you know, intention was to kind of get out of the limelight. But the problem was when I finally, you know, entered the faith of Islam, then of course people started asking me, well, you know, what do? You know, I said, well, I sing. And that's what I was doing at the time. I was still, you know, making a record in 1978. And then they found out I was Cat Stevens. They said, what? You know, and then they wanted to hear my life story, and they wanted me to stand up there and talk and give lectures. And that began that whole kind of cycle of learning how to talk on a podium and, you know, articulate as much as I could my reasons for becoming a Muslim. And now there was quite a lot of understanding on the Muslim side, but on the non-Muslim side, there was great bewilderment, you know, great questions as to how I could leave this kind of almost luxurious life of a star, you know, and do this. And to me, it was like getting a life. That's what I had to do, because I've been singing, I've been idealizing for so many years of my life about, you know, changing the world. Well, if you can't change yourself, you can't do anything. So I really start to get down to changing myself, changing my attitude, my behavior. You know, I stopped drinking. I started being extremely faithful. I married. You know, I started looking after my mother. Those are world-changing events for me, but a lot of them weren't seen. You know?
Mm-hmm. And you gave up this life and you embraced this other life. Was it what you expected, or is it completely different when it finally happened?
It's the most important thing, I think, is knowledge, you know. And what I was able to do was to transcend, if you like, certain boundaries that I'd been placed in, you know, in my youth, certain conceptions and preconceptions that usually stay with a person for their whole life, you know. But
from your family, or
from family, you know, from the Western cultural point of view. And I started to look beyond that. I suppose my first excursion was to look at Buddhism, you know, but you know, to go even further than that, I ended up looking at Islam, even though it was considered taboo at the time, even by me. I had to overcome that. And so these kind of transformations in my understanding, broadening my perspective, led to nothing but more happiness, you know, because it's those dark areas that you tend not to challenge within your life. And you say, well, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not going to go there. But if you do, and you kind of shine a light on it, you kind of look at it and examine it, you probably find something very unique that you haven't thought about.
The unexamined life, yeah, interesting. Yusuf Islam is our guest, and he has a new album called Another Cup. And we can dip into that now, perhaps, again. There's a song you were actually playing, which I love, and it's called In the End.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites, actually.
And this is kind of you do another, one of the things on this album, I should tell people, is a cover of Please Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, which seems kind of like a perfect choice, almost too perfect. That's great.
It's made for me, tailor-made.
Exactly. And this kind of is kind of a coming-together song in a way also.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be judgmental. I'm just trying to tell people, hey, you know, you better look into your own life and find out, check it out, clean it up, you know, before the end comes. Yeah, this is called In the End. You can't bargain with the truth. Whether you're right or you're wrong, we're gonna know what you've done. We're gonna see where you belong in the end. You can't bargain with the truth, 'cause whether you're black or you're white, we're gonna know who's right. We're gonna see you in the light in the end. Oh, and every little thing you do, you better know it's coming back to you. Can't bargain with the truth, 'cause one day you're gonna die, and good's going high, and evil's going down in the end. You can't bargain with the truth, 'cause whether you're old or young, we're gonna see what you've done. There'll be nowhere else to run in the end. You can't bargain with the truth, 'cause whether you're rich or you're poor, you're gonna meet at the same door. You're gonna know the real score in the end. And if you want to help your fellow man, you better start with what's in your hand. You can't bargain with the truth, 'cause whether you're right or you're wrong, we're gonna know what you've done. We're gonna see where you belong in the end. If the world you chose, no further than your nose, will be where the doors will close in the end. You can't bargain with the truth, 'cause for those who were deceived, there'll be no reprieve, there'll be no time to believe in the end. And every little thing you do, you better know it's coming back. Good's going high, and evil's going down in the end.
Yusuf Islam, live today on the World Cafe, and In the End, another one of the new songs from And Other Cup. Were there muscles you hadn't exercised that you had to get back in shape to write, or was it the kind of thing that was always there in the back of your mind, writing?
I think it's a few little things which I learned along the way, which perhaps I never thought about, you know, little excursions on the guitar where I'd never have gone before, you know, do that. But a lot of things were very, very natural, very easy for me because... I'm a songwriter, so I know how to write songs.
You talked about how the music business was not on your terms at all when you started, but I suspect that it's a completely different experience now. You're able to approach it on your terms. A tour, if you do, as it would suit you, has it been okay?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, what's been really extraordinary is the reception and the love I feel, you know, just coming out and singing again, making everybody kind of happy again, you know, and feeling that the heart's still there, you know, and the message is still strong. And it's the same message, essentially, but slightly more refined, and a bit more mature, maybe. Less passionate, maybe. I don't know, you know. I can't hit those high notes as well as I could before.
I was wondering what you meant
by that.
That's
being honest, you know. It's like, I'm relaxed.
No, there is, yes, very relaxed feel to the album, and it begins that way as well. Were you ever, not that it was your worry to, you know, keep your fans when you were not making music as such, but did you worry when you, we talked about how you were put in a position early on when you were sort of just getting into Islam of making statements. You made statements about the Salman Rushdie fatwa at a certain point that caused a stir. Was it tough to be politic and still feel like you were being honest with Muslim law?
Well, that's one of the great controversies, of course. The things I'm being accused of of saying, I never said, you know, so I never, in fact, supported the fatwa at all. But you can't deny, like any Christian or Jew couldn't deny the Ten Commandments. You can't deny that it's not there in or some basis of it is there in the Bible or in the Quran. It's just that how you apply that and how you understand that in today's world, of course, you don't. You have a whole new set of laws which are supposed to be designed to stop people from falling into conflicts. Unfortunately, today there is perhaps a rather grey area between the freedom of speech that we all love and we all, you know, subscribe to, between that and the allowance to let people who believe in a divine code, you know, to also say that they still believe in their divine scripture. The matter of keeping the peace, though, is, I think, at the heart of religion, you know, and so therefore the outplay of that controversy was completely the opposite to what I think God's law is designed to you know, produce, and that is that people just behave with each other, you know, and start to respect each other. I think that's at the heart of the law, you know, when it's correct.
I see this way, and I'm just wondering if you do. And it's kind of, do you see your coming out and making music now as a possible healing thing for the world?
You know, I'm singing for a more peaceful world today. I'm definitely, you know, dreaming still of that world. But I'm a realist, and I know that can't happen unless you take some steps, positive steps. And I think that what I'm doing today, even though it's still musical, it's still kind of, you know, it's words, it's music, but at the same time, it's symbolic, it's bridge building. And I think today, you know, there are the whole lot on all sides, you know, who have just gone way out of bounds into the extremes. And we need to establish the harmony that we all seek, you know, and sometimes music can get you there in a fast track to that place where we can all kind of listen and sing together.
Amen. Could you possibly do a bit of Peace Train?
All right.
Okay. It just seems like an appropriate ending to this.
Yeah, why not? This is slightly more folky version, maybe, but yeah. But
like now, you've gotten to sing this in some amazing situations recently, whether it's just a cappella or you did another one recently with, I'm thinking not the moment.
We did, actually, I did this right after 9/11 when there was the concert at the Radio City Music Hall. And it was, I suppose, a turning point. That was probably one of the biggest turning points when I realized how important it was to sing about this vision again, you know, and to make sure that we keep the peace train on the tracks. Yeah. I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Yes, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Yes, I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Peace train sounding louder, light on the peace train. Together, go bring your good friends too, 'cause it's getting nearer, it soon will be with you. It's come and join the living, it's not so far from you, and it's getting nearer, soon it will all be true. Peace train sounding louder, ride on the peace train. About the world as it is, why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Peace train sounding louder, glad on the peace train.
Wonderfully fitting ending to our session today with Yusuf Islam. Thank you so much for coming back, really. It's just so wonderful to have your music. You don't see it as coming back, though, do you?
No, we're starting again. That's how I see it. but it is like a feeling like I'm home, you know?
That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
That Yusuf Islam interview from January of 2007 on this year-end Best of Edition of the World Cafe.